5 million square miles that the Amazon spans in Brazil, saying Brazil and the planet need a living Amazon. Lula pledged to reverse the damage done by Bolsonaro, who has pushed miners and other industrial interests to develop in the Amazon. In the 4 years since Bolsonaro took office, deforestation has soared to a 15-year high. During his campaign, the president-elect said he plans to restore funding to the Brazilian Institute of Environment and Renewable Natural Resources, the federal agency which protects the rainforest from extractive industries following Bolsonaro's weakening of environmental enforcement. "Let's fight for zero deforestation," Lula said in his first speech as president-elect. Brazil is ready to resume its leading role in the fight against the climate crisis, protecting all our biomass, especially the Amazon forest. "We will resume monitoring and surveillance of the Amazon and combat any and all illegal activity, whether mining, logging, or improper agricultural occupation," he said. Deforestation fell by 72% between 2004 and 2016 when Lula and former President Dilma Rousseff, both of whom represent the Workers' Party, were leading the country. Under Bolsonaro and his right-wing Liberal Party, the amount of forest that was cleared in 2021 was the largest annual figure in more than a decade. "The lungs of the earth will breathe easier tonight," said Brazil-based Reuters climate correspondent Jake Spring, referring to rainforest's ability to absorb carbon dioxide. "While there is lots of work to be done," added Oxford University professor Dr. Jennifer Cassidy, "the Amazon exhales a sigh of relief." In addition to fighting deforestation by stepping up enforcement, Lula plans to grant protected status to nearly 200,000 square miles of undesignated territory in the Amazon, setting it aside for indigenous communities or wildlife. He has also wanted to grant subsidies for sustainable farming, establish a federal authority tasked with ensuring Brazil is in line with goals set by the Paris Climate Agreement, and reform the country's tax codes to require higher taxes on pollution-causing companies and incentivize a shift to sustainable energy sources by offering lower tax rates. Although Lula won the election by a margin of just 1.8%, said University of California, Berkeley professor Daniel Aldana Cohen, "his victory is a massive win for Brazil, for its working class, its black and indigenous communities, and against fascism. In addition to helping preserve the wildlife and biodiversity within the Amazon, Lula has pledged to enact policies that will protect the home of 24 million people, including hundreds of thousands of members of indigenous tribes. In the first year of Bolsonaro's presidency, invasions of indigenous lands rose by 150%. "The nightmare is due to end at last," said Marcio Astrini, executive secretary of the Brazilian Climate Observatory, adding, "Stopping the slaughter of indigenous peoples and the devastation of the Amazon will require countering powerful gangs and very often the interests of allies and supporters in local governments and the parliament." As advocates for climate action, human rights, and democracy around the world applauded the Brazilian public for rejecting Bolsonaro's policies, Norwegian officials announced the country would resume subsidizing the protection of the Amazon, which it halted in 2019 after Bolsonaro took office. Lula, in his post-election speech, said, "We are open to international cooperation to preserve the Amazon, whether in the form of investment or scientific research."
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint, a critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jahad, hosting this program, and my guest, Sayyid Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum, welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, thank you.
And my other guest in the studio, Sister Asma, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam, thank you. What's your service?
Welcome. Well, we are trying to criticize the movie Dune, produced in 2021, directed by Denis Villeneuve, for quite a while now. Of course, we haven't finished it yet, but in order to... or for me actually to ask the question, let's take a listen to a short part of this movie, Dune, and then we'll be back. Don't go away.
Spice is a psychoactive chemical. You seem to be sensitive. You'll be fine.
Thank you, Dr. Yue.
It wasn't an allergic reaction. I had a vision. My eyes were wide open. What did you see?
Back to the program, Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. We are trying to criticize the movie Dune, produced in 2021, directed by Denis Villeneuve. Well, Sayyid Abdullah, you know, Paul, the major actor or the major character in this movie, who is somehow called the Lisan al-Ghaib, or sometimes referred to as al-Mahdi in the movie. Later, of course, we'll find out. Paul constantly has visions in this movie, right? And by vision, I mean the true dreams, the dreams that come true, basically, right? What's the origin of visions? Are they for real? And do they happen for everyone?
When you talk about vision, is a very interesting topic. Because if you look at philosophers, when they look at prophets, this is the topic that we deal with in terms of wahi, as we call revelation. A lot of philosophers, they start to question, because when a prophet comes along and he says, "I am sent by God, I saw this and this, and God told me this and this," they start to question, is it truly a revelation from God, or is it just something that he created in his own mind? that he thinks he saw things. Because, you know, the mind, it works in mysterious ways that sometimes you see things that don't even exist.
Mm-hmm.
They're not there.
Yes.
Your mind makes them. So if you believe in something so hard, you will see it. You know, Imam Ali says, if you believe in a rock, it will answer you. So they started to question that. They said, okay, what these people get, is it a revelation truly from God?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just visions that they're having that they created themselves?
Creation of their mind.
So this is an old topic. So if you want to cut off man from God, you would have to say it's vision. If you don't want to cut that, you say it's revelation. So it's a very thin line.
Uh-huh.
So what they're trying to highlight in this movie is that even this savior, even this messiah or this Mahdi that's going to come, all these things that he's seeing is got nothing to do with God. More like it coming to him,
mm-hmm.
either of his own making or by, you know, the sorcerers or whatever was around him.
Right.
So they're trying to separate this messiah from God by submitting to that notion that what he sees is of his own doing, has got nothing to do with God.
You mean the movie or the director is trying to give a kind of materialistic perspective to it, right?
Yeah, so to have visions, either you're having visions because God is making you see them, which means it's a revelation.
Right.
If it's God making you see them. If it's your own vision, then there's nothing divine to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing special to it. You're just seeing things.
But when it comes true, that means it's divine.
When it comes to what?
Those dreams, they come true. So when they come true,
me and you have many dreams that come true.
Like that's 100% true? No.
I have. A lot of people have.
So you're a divine person then.
Huh?
You are a divine person
No, it's not divine. That's how things, because sometimes we say dreams are messengers from Allah. Mm-hmm. So even the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, every time he wakes up and he goes to his with his companions, his friends, he says, "Hal min mubashirat."
Mm-hmm.
Is there any good news? Because dreams themselves, some dreams are true, they come true, and sometimes they come exactly as you saw them in the dream.
Regardless of the opinions. But the dreams he saw, they were sort of life-changing dreams.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So they're trying to play on that notion. Is it from God or is it from his own? Even if they come true.
And you come to take it as his own.
Well, that's the message they're trying to push. Because he's having them while he's awake, while he's fully conscious.
Right.
And he just blacks out. So when the mind blacks out, you start to see things. So it's got nothing to do with revelation. With the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, every time Jibreel used to come to him, he has this stage.
His
body starts to shake. He goes out of conscious. He becomes very heavy. He becomes very sweaty. Like the companions, once they see that the Prophet goes in this state, they know that he's talking to Jibreel.
Right.
So this guy wasn't going through that stage.
Yeah.
He was just seeing them. So sometimes, like, I think in one of the scenes, like, he was, like, on
like
the ground.
Like, he blacked out.
On the ground, and he was also sweating and stuff like that. So they tried to give it that element.
That was just the effect of the spice, I guess.
Because he was in the tent, you mean? Because it was hot?
No, I mean...
Now, the vision that he had in the tent, where he said, everyone is going to fight, rage a war.
Okay, it was the effect
of
the spice.
So he was, like, he had his hand on the ground. Like, he felt a bit of heaviness. So even our narration that the Prophet, when he comes, sometimes says he's on the mule, on the horse, and Jibreel comes, says the mule will sink of the heaviness of the wahi. So, like I said, so they're trying to play that subconsciously in the mind of people. Is it his own vision or is it revelation?
Mm-hmm. By the way, do the atheists have visions?
Everyone has visions. Sometimes we have, like, if you take LSD, that drug, you will see things. You will see creatures. You will see people talking to you. You will see...
But they are hallucinations. They're not going to be true.
Exactly.
But they're not going to be true.
No. So we're talking about the actual vision now.
No, when we say vision is different from dream. Vision is something that is true.
Not a dream. So you're in a state of awareness, but you're seeing things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether they come true or not, that's a different topic.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So they're trying to say, okay, what he's seeing, regardless of whether this going to come true or not, is it divine? Is it from God, revelation from God? Or is it of his own doing?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he, like, foreseeing the future? Like, he can have that ability to see into the future? Because even we have people who can see in the future, sadly.
Right.
You know, a lot of mystics, a lot of people, they can see into the future.
So that's the thing that you're trying to play on. And I think that one of the things that they try to highlight the fact is, these are his own visions. It's got nothing to do with God. It's got nothing to do with anything.
No mention of God there.
No.
I see.
That's the thing. Because like I said, this is an old topic that's been discussed.
Right.
So especially like when we study the Quran and when we study the concept of wahi, that's the first thing that we study.
Right.
Is the theories in relation to wahi. Is it from God? Is it from man himself?
Yeah.
Are they hallucinations, like the sister said?
Right.
Are they visions? Or are they just, I don't know, just things, you know, they say it's chemicals that happen in the back of your brain that makes you see things.
Yeah.
So this is studied. Yeah. So I think they've touched on that, but they clearly made it clear that it's going to do with God.
Yeah, true indeed. Actually, we are talking about dreams. And whenever it is that we are talking about dreams or there is a reference to it, actually, even despite the modern technological advancement we have today, we are talking about a black box. We are just toddlers.
We're clueless about it, yes.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a listen to another part of this movie, Dune, produced in 2021. And then we'll be back with its critique. Don't go away.
Coming. I see a holy war spreading across the universe like unquenchable fire. A warrior religion that waves the Atreides banner in my father's name. Fanatical legions worshiping at the shrine of my father's skull. A war in my name! Everyone shouting my name!
God of Dragons. You are your father's son. You are my son. You are the Duke. God of Dragons.
Back to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. With me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah, my guest speakers in the studio. We are talking about and criticizing the movie Dune, produced in 2021, directed by Denis Villeneuve. Sister Asma, you know, Paul, the major character in this movie, says the holy war is spreading across the universe like an unquenchable fire.
Mm-hmm.
A warrior religion that waves that Atreides banner in my father's name. Fanatical legions worshipping at the shine of my father's skull. A war in my name. Mm-hmm. Everyone shouting my name. Is there a holy war awaiting the world? Well, does he refer to a kind of like a holy war, a crusade, like a third world war or something like that?
Yes. Well, firstly, I would say yes, he's referring to that holy war. And I guess all the nations do believe in a holy war, or at least a war that would happen in the end and would finish everything. And that would be the end of all the world. But secondly, as a Muslim person who watches this movie, right, I can't help myself but thinking of the things that happened in our history,
mm-hmm,
in our Islamic heritage.
Okay.
So when he says there would be a war, a holy war, right, in the name of my father, that refers directly to what we believe in Imam Mahdi. As he comes, he's going to fight in the name of his father. Mm-hmm. Because they martyred him in the most terrifying way possible.
Yes.
So he's going to take a revenge of the thing that happened way of time ago in the history. So they actually are referring to that. And if you have an Islamic background, you would take it directly to the point that we have in our heritage. But then, yes, totally, the answer is yes. They're referring to a holy war. And that war is going to refer to at the end of the world.
Yes.
Everything would be clarified with that war.
Sayyid Abdullah, is it one of the predictions or one of the foreseeing, like as a result of that vision that Paul had in the movie, you know, referring to that whole war that is going to happen, in fact, at the end of the world?
Well, he had the vision. And even in the end of the movie, they show you a clip where he's in the plane.
Yes.
And he can see that people were chanting his name with flags and he has an army. Right. Look, I mean, no doubt, it's all, like I said, across all religions, they believe in the final war.
Yes.
They all believe in it. Mm-hmm. So they believe it in a sense that it is almost 100% certain. It's not, it might or might not of. So all religions believe that it will happen at the end of time. There will be one final battle
well, it's all going to end everything. So if you look at it from a Muslim perspective, since they're referring to the Mahdi and the Lisan al-Ghaib and everything Islamic in here, so obviously they're referring to the final battle of Mahdi alayhi salam when he conquers the entire earth, because he clearly said, cross the universe. Now, like, I don't want to move beyond earth. I would like to stay on earth.
Yes.
Now, because we have other talks in this subject.
Should there be any war, like a battle of that fine battle that you're talking about when Imam Mahdi comes?
There will be a battle. There will be a final battle between Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Is it a certain, like, valid thing?
It is 100% certain.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it is corroborated by the hadith corpus.
By the hadith and by the Quran, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, so there will be, like, even the ayah says there will come a time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the mu'min inherit earth. He cannot inherit earth unless you rage a war against those who are being oppressive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the scale of the war might not be as huge as they made it sound in the movie. It's going to be a very small war at a specific place with a specific people and will end very quickly and with less bloodshed.
Yes.
But it will be a raise in the name of the Imam. Uh-huh. That's clear.
Yeah, it's a very interesting subject that you raised at the end of this episode when you refer to that holy verse of the Quran. Mm. We also see it's somehow counterpart, like equivalent in the Bible, the meek shall inherit the earth, by
exactly.
the way. Yes, yeah. Okay, thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah and Sister Asma, for your nice contribution to the program Viewpoint. We were trying to criticize the movie June. Of course, we haven't come to an end of its critique. Inshallah, we are going to do so in the upcoming episode. Thank you very much for listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and for your information, the holy city of Qom in Iran is indeed the foremost center of diffusion of true Islamic knowledge, with students from all over the world coming to acquire bezels of wisdom. And here is what the Holy Prophet's sixth infallible heir, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him, has said regarding the city which is blessed by the holy shrine of his granddaughter, Hazrat Fatima Ma'sumeh, peace be upon her. Indeed, God has a sanctuary, and that is Mecca, the holy Kaaba. The messenger of God, Prophet Muhammad, has a sanctuary, and that is Medina. The commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, has a sanctuary, and that is Kufa. And we, the Ahlul Bayt, have a sanctuary, and that is Qom.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
China is taking the final step in the construction of its Tiangong space station, the second permanently inhabited station in low Earth orbit after NASA's International Space Station. The second and last lap component of the station was launched on Monday. The uncrewed module is called Mengtian, which means dreaming of the heavens. The rocket carrying it blasted off from China's Space Launch Center on the coast of the southern island province of Hainan. The 23-ton Mengtian is an advanced lab and does not have space for sleeping and sanitation. Instead, it has more space to carry payloads for scientific studies. Fan Ping is the chief designer of the project. She says this is a special step towards space research.
I think the Mengtian lab module is quite special, as it is for experiment only, which can be seen as a dedicated studio. There are 13 scientific experiment racks in the module and 37 exposed loading stations outside the module, enabling astronauts to do more extravehicular loading experiments in the future.
The Mengtian module is the last building block of the T-shaped Tiangong station. It has to fly 400 kilometers to join the two-module combination already dispatched into space. Together, the three modules will construct the station, which is designed for a lifespan of at least 10 years.
It's always a tricky task to remember people's names at a party, but not in this particular gathering in Tokyo, where all the guests had the exact same name, Hirokazu Tanaka. 178 Hirokazu Tanakas came together on Saturday to set a new namesake gathering world record. Their ages spanned from 3 years old to 80. The Guinness World Record for the largest gathering of people with the same first and last name previously belonged to Martha Stewart. 164 people with that name came together in New York in 2005. In the Tanaka's gathering, every man was assigned an alias inspired by their hobbies, occupation, or favorite foods to tell them apart from others. One nicknamed by his birthplace says, "It's strange to meet so many people with the same name." Obviously.
It's a strange feeling to know that there are nearly 200 people with the same name. To be honest, I'd presume there are more popular names out there like Suzuki and Sato. This achievement is really because of the efforts of our organizer.
The man who organized this gathering is a 53-year-old Hirokazu Tanaka who has worked for years to make this happen. He says his quest began in 1994 when he stumbled upon news about a baseball prodigy with the same name. After that, he began tirelessly scouring the nation for his namesakes. He then founded the Hirokazu Tanaka campaign that brought the men together and created a strange friendship among them. Thousands of baby turtles have been released into Peru's Amazon basin in an attempt to preserve the rainforest ecosystem. More than 6,000 hatchlings of three endangered species of turtles have been released into lakes and lagoons in Peru to help them repopulate. To make this happen, wildlife officials collected the eggs from their natural habitat and transferred them to artificial beaches until they hatched. The river turtles are considered vulnerable because for many years they have been killed for human consumption or kept as pets. Scientists are currently trying to conserve the Amazon to avoid catastrophic climate change, and Peru has the second largest share of the rainforest after Brazil. Another world record news. This time it has been set in Switzerland. A Swiss railway company has run the world's longest passenger train with a trip on one of the most spectacular tracks through the Alps. To celebrate its 175th anniversary, Switzerland's rail industry launched the world's longest ever passenger train, measuring around 2 kilometers. The electric train took almost an hour to cover around 25 kilometers over the UNESCO World Heritage Albula Line in eastern Switzerland. The Albula Line is famous for its endless swooping curves and steep descents. Rail enthusiasts lined the valley to watch the train's 100 cars snake through the Alps. Belgium and the Netherlands were the previous record holders for the world's longest passenger train. They used standard railway through the flat landscapes.
If you enjoy street art, then you'll probably like Iztapalapa district in Mexico's capital city. Nearly 300 neighborhoods in this area are beautifully painted with brightly colored murals for all to enjoy. Visitors can also ride a cable car and take a tour of the art from above. The district is home to nearly 7,000 murals and graffiti painted on all sorts of surfaces, including rooftops. Iztapalapa Murals is a project that was promoted by the Mexico City's mayor in 2018. The goal of the project was to recover and dignify public spaces through art and involve neighbors in its creation and conservation. Iztapalapa is one of the poorest municipalities in the capital, and the initiative aims to reduce neighborhood violence through public lighting of the murals during the night.
It is never too late to learn a new skill. That's what 100-year-old Nada Rudan has shown with her art when she discovered her love for painting at the age of 87. The Bosnian native says she started to paint to keep herself busy, and now she finds the days are often too short to fit in everything she wanted to do. The artist paints for 3 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the afternoon without glasses. Rudan marked her 100th birthday with an exhibition of all the works that she has painted over the years.
My 100th birthday, I've celebrated it at sea. That was really a big event for me. Before that, I had an exhibition that I didn't hope for. But my children persuaded me. I was against it. I'm not an artist. I said, children, don't embarrass me.
She says she's inspired by nature and her travel around the globe. Rudan has lived in numerous areas such as Central America, Hawaii Islands, Europe, and the Asian Himalayas, among many other places. The artist survived both World War II and the siege of Sarajevo by Bosnian Serb forces.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Iran's Kish Island is known as the paradise of the Persian Gulf. Our correspondent Youssef Jalali has been to the stunning southern Iranian resort island and has filed this report about its beautiful attractions.
It's no land at the heart of a scorching but amazing island. This snow town is one of the latest entertainment centers in Iran's Kish Island in the Persian Gulf. Every year, some 2 million visitors from inside and outside Iran visit the island to enjoy its attractions, from its entertainment centers to its stunning beach.
The beach and the pier in Kish are really peaceful and tranquilizing. It's the third time I'm visiting the island, and I went parasailing, water skiing, and I'm planning to go scuba diving.
Kish Island offers all kinds of sea entertainment activities, from scuba diving to sailing, and oh yes, flyboarding. Besides sea sports, visitors can enjoy its amusement parks and a range of leisure activities inside the island. And if you're a tireless window shopper, Kish is a land of malls and shopping centers.
Kish is an amazing island. It used to be an abandoned island some 3 decades ago, but today it is a luxurious tourist resort with modern buildings and exciting recreational places.
Despite all the pleasure one can have in Kish, the island still has many shortcomings. The major issue annoying visitors is the poor accommodation services.
Hotel facilities and services are a bit weak given the large number of tourists that visit this island. They need to pay more attention to the accommodation infrastructure.
Just a few hundred kilometers away from Kish, there's a tourist magnet in the United Arab Emirates, Dubai, which absorbs the chunk of foreign tourists. While U.S. sanctions on Iran are a major factor to blame for Kish lagging behind in its rivalry with Dubai, the island's officials believe it still has a chance. to win the game of tourism against Dubai.
If we want to excel, it is not going to be a tough job. We need to work on two major areas. The first is the infrastructure, and the second is regulations that would allow tourists or investors to easily come to Kish to entertain themselves or do business.
Situated off the southern coast of Iran in the Persian Gulf, Kish is one of Iran's free trade zones. Foreign travelers do not need a visa to visit the island, as travel permits are issued on arrival by Kish officials and are valid for up to 14 days.
With its mesmerizing nature and eye-catching urban landscapes, Kish has earned the title of the Bride of the Persian Gulf. Its authorities say the island is already a hub for Iranian travelers, but they say they seek to turn it into a regional tourist magnet. Yusuf Jalali from Kish Island.
A 78-year-old artist is making a comeback with a unique art installation on Governor's Island in the United States of America. One of its biggest features is the sound and creaking of moving chains.
It's a project that I proposed for a commission in St. Louis. The site of the commission was the area near the Mississippi River and the St. Louis courthouse. So I wanted to do a piece that addressed those areas and the subjects. And and of course we have those areas of the Mississippi River, which is a place that you talk about the history of American commerce, but also we can talk about the history of slavery.
Charles Gaines wanted to highlight the role slavery played in building the economy of the United States. That's why he purposely used chains, and the sculptor pointedly faces the Statue of Liberty in New York City. The installation is roughly 30 meters long and activated by colossal chains that rotate on anchors. The installation is part of a three-chapter series called The American Manifest, Moving Chains. It will be kept for all to see until the summer of next year.
A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out three patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found a rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC.
If you have a sweet tooth, then this next bit of news is just for you. Visitors are now taking advantage of the expanded version of Cakeland, which is an immersive art gallery in the U.S. city of Los Angeles. The structure is meant to feel like a giant multi-layered cake. It's entirely made of artificial materials, but looks like if it's full of cherries, whipped cream, and layers of cake. Artist Scott Hoff says he used nearly a ton of pipe frosting, 120 mirrors, and thousands of cherries. Plus, he embedded thousands of crystals in the walls as a final touch. The artist says he chose to develop Cakeland after he noticed how much his artificial cake sculptures were welcomed by viewers.
So I chose cake because, number one, it's really beautiful. Number two, it's really fun to do. And number three, it engages the viewers in such a meaningful way.
Hoff says he never actually made a real cake before and has mainly followed his enthusiasm for fake food as the inspiration for this project. Visitors are able to walk through the cake, a labyrinth, and explore various rooms. While there is a lot of deliciousness and lightness of the cakes, visitors to this cake land can discover some interesting darker elements as they wander around. The art installation has continued to expand since it was founded by Hov in 2020.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum and welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. The topic that we are going to discuss about in this episode is Islam and mental health. Be with us. Today, Friday, is the 9th of Rabiul Thani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 13th of Aban, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 4th of November, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For today, we'll listen to verses 11 to 13 of chapter Az-Zumar from the Holy Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل إني أمرت أن أعبد الله مخلصا له الدين.
Say, O Muhammad, indeed, I have been commanded to worship Allah, being sincere to him in religion.
وَأُمِرْتُ لِأَنْ أَكُونَ أَوَّلَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ.
And I have been commanded to be the first among you of the Muslims.
قُلْ إِنِّي أَخَافُ إِنْ عَصَيْتُ رَبِّي عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ.
Say, indeed I fear, if I should disobey my Lord, the punishment of a tremendous day.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The noble prophet, peace be upon him and his family, was keen on worshipping God sincerely and carrying out other obligations of his despite the agreement or disagreement of others. It is herein indicated that the noble prophet of Islam is one of the servants of Allah. He is also commanded to fully submit to divine command. His obligations even far exceed others, since he is supposed to be the forerunner in this respect. He neither claimed divinity nor did he deviate the path of sincere servantship, but he took pride in such a state, hence he is the noble, he is the model for all Muslims.
Buzzing of the bees, Ya Rabbil Alameen, Your
from the stars to the moon. Your dominion is so vast, yet your beauty isn't seen. Ya Rabbi, please accept my prayer. Ya Rabb al-alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Ya Rabb al-alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim.
During this week and the previous days and episodes of today's special, we'll look at Islam and mental health, and now the continuation of this discussion. Psychological and spiritual health is a necessary lifelong process that has been extensively discussed in the Islamic intellectual heritage. Gaining awareness into one's psychological and spiritual functioning is necessary in forming a meaningful relationship with Allah and following the mandates of our religion. Our greatest asset to doing so is our own very selves. Just as we strive to work on intellectual and academic development, psycho-spiritual development is all the more important for success in this world and the next. If one knows his mind, one knows his state between him and his Lord. The importance of personal development and refinement of character is established by the prophetic tradition, wherein he said, "I was exclusively sent to perfect good character."
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is your host, Ali, and we are with you with another topic to discuss with each other about the role of faith and iman in improving the quality of life and mental health. As said earlier, we have ni'matan majhulatan, as-sihat wal-aman. There are two blessings of God that are usually ignored by people. They do not usually think about them unless they find the importance and the necessity of them. As-sihat wal-aman, that is health, which can also include mental and material and body health and security, social security. In this way, a person is happy at the thought of attaining happiness and at the thought of an ominous future. A tremor falls on his body and he experiences severe anxiety. You see, just with having this in mind that our future is dark, so a sort of anxiety enters our existence. So the role of belief in our mental health has lots of consequences and effects that we enumerated at the very beginning of this discussion and show, but since we are approaching the last seconds or minutes of this show, we need to summarize and just to tell you, having belief and faith actually will help us to increase our decision-making power and our, let's say, role in social activities, and then our capability and capacity about the concept of death will again increase. Hopefully we shall find some time to talk about these issues in near future till our next show. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every.
Mental health tips from the Quran and Sunnah we'll look at in this part. Practice mindfulness. This is nothing new in Islam. The Prophet was practicing mindfulness in his
everyday life by meditating, supplicating, remembering Allah the Almighty through dhikr, pondering, reflecting, contemplating, and remaining silent even in the presence of others when needed. We can see how mindfulness plays an essential role in trying to attain the excellence, perfection, and beautification of our awareness of Allah. By focusing on the present moment in our actions, words, and thoughts, rather than keeping ourselves too busy with regretting our past actions or lack thereof, or worrying about the future, we are better able to connect with our Creator and feel at peace with our present self. An excellent way to start practicing mindfulness is by being more aware of what we eat and how we eat. Mindfulness in eating is definitely something that is highly emphasized in Islam. Again, we have a question part that starts with a question: are there Quranic prescriptions for coping and distress? Yes. The Quran uses stories to provide relatability and offers coping strategies to feel better about negativity and distress. The Quran tells the stories of many individuals who experience profound stress and other negative emotions and provides priceless guidance on how we may overcome these emotions. The Quran teaches us that even the greatest of people experience periods of profound distress, grief, or sorrow. We can learn from this that such emotions are a normal part of the human experience. Just as Allah gave us life, He also gave us emotions. Seeking solace by visualizing the promise of eternal happiness is paradise compared with the temporary nature of this life. Striving to remember Allah frequently and engage in dhikr and turning to Allah with our complaints and pains in prayer and supplication are all actions inspired by Quranic guidance.
You know, in the Quran, in chapter number 13 in Surah Ar-Ra'd, verse 28, which unfortunately many people misquote and misunderstand, Allah says the very beautiful following statement: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. Those who have believed and become established in belief, and whose hearts find rest and contentment in remembrance of and wholehearted devotion to God. Be aware that it is in the remembrance and of wholehearted devotion to God that hearts find rest and contentment. Merely reciting the verses of the Quran we began with, in which Allah says that it is in the remembrance of God that hearts find the rest, is not the secret antidote to mental health issues. Just as this verse cannot cure people with cardiovascular issues. Number two, that just as the mind and soul are complex and are creations of God, which He Himself has told us that we have very little knowledge of how they function, we need to consult experts on how to deal with mental health issues, medical health experts, and spiritual health experts. Point number three, stress, anxiety, and depression can affect people at various levels. As believers, we need to have a complete, close relationship with God at all times, built not on rituals, but a deep spiritual connection with Him.
Thank you very much. And that was all for today's special. Inshallah, we'll continue this interesting topic. Till then, take care. Have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi. علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. We'll be right back.